Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Mountain View for worship on our first Sunday in February. What a great gift it is to be able to worship together in community. We will have lots of ways in which we experience God in the flesh today with blankets and communion and each other. So welcome to worship. I'm going to invite Kelstrom to come and tell us what's happening in the neck of the woods. As he comes forward, you can look at your bulletin. On the back are Mountain View News. And he's going to highlight two things, but there's plenty to read there, so you can find the other ones that resonate.
This Ash Wednesday, Pastors Steve and Sarah and other clergy from our community will be out in the community at lunch hour offering a blessing and the imposition of ashes to all who'd light them. Look for them around town. That evening at 5:30 p.m., we will be offering the imposition of ashes in Mountain View from 5:30 p.m. We hope to provide a reflective, peaceful setting for you to come and go, pray and stay, or review and reflect without a traditional preaching service. Prayer partners will be available for those who would like them. Our sign-ups for 2018 altar flowers look a bit sparse. If you'd like to commemorate a special event, remember a loved one, or just contribute for the simple purpose of making our sanctuary beautiful, please sign up in the sheets across from the church office. Suggested donation is $40.
Thank you, Kelstrom. You've got a fan base out there waving to you, so that's great. Woo woo! And with that, let us stand and greet one another in God's love.
Good morning. Shall we sing our congregational introit? I will start us off. We are the people, we are the sheep, nurtured and led by God's hand. We are the people, we are the sheep, nurtured and led by God's hand. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work. His righteousness endures forever. We are the people, we are the sheep, nurtured and led by God's hand. Great are the works of the Lord. Praises we shout to the Lord above. We give thanks to the Father who blesses us. We sing of his glory forever. We are the people, we are the sheep, nurtured and led by God's hand.
Before we have our collect, I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to worship. When you come to Sunday, you come to something important. And when you miss a Sunday, you miss a lot. Ed, you have guests here today, and I'd like to share with them some popcorn. Thank them for popping in.
My son and my daughter.
Your son and your daughter. And their spouses.
Thank you.
All right. Share as you will. All right. Do we have anybody else who's here, maybe for the first time? We welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ and in the love of God. The Lesages, yes, welcome, welcome. But they're welcome to have corn. All right, friends, God bless you all. Welcome. Would you bow with me as we share our collect? Holy God, your presence is real to us. With or without scientific proof, with or without justification, with or without your love, how could we exist? We, Heavenly Father, pray in your presence today and acknowledge your presence as powerful for us. Help us as we seek to be your people in this place through Jesus Christ. Amen. Please rise. And if the children of the congregation would come forward for their special time. Miss Larissa.
Okay. Here you guys. You guys hold this one. Spread that one out. Carter, take one side. There we go.
Oh, you guys look so nice and cozy in those blankets here, don't you? So tell me, what would you use a blanket for? For warmth, that's right. What else you use a blanket for? Comfort, those are good things. What else could you use it for, Brian? For sleeping, these are all excellent ways to use a blanket, that's right. Have you ever made maybe like a tent fort with blankets? So you could sleep underneath a blanket if it's up like a tent? Have you ever tried to make it, turn it into a bag and use it to carry something in? Yeah, blankets have all kinds of purposes. So today in the church, it's a special Sunday called Blanket Sunday. And we do this every single year. And there's an organization called Church World Service. And these blankets come from Church World Service. And do you know what they do with them? They donate them, exactly. They give them to people who might need them. Families whose houses maybe were lost in a fire or in a hurricane or another natural disaster. It's given to people who maybe where they live is unsafe and they have to leave their home and leave everything they have behind and go somewhere new. And these blankets will be here waiting for them. And so what do you think? You think if you lost everything you had, how would a blanket make you feel? It would make you feel a little bit better, right? Perfect. That's how great you would feel. It would help you feel just a little bit better. If you were out and it was cold and you had a blanket, it would help keep you warm. If you were somewhere and you had nothing with you, like Max said, a blanket could give you comfort and make you feel comforted, right? If you were sleeping on the ground somewhere or sleeping on the floor somewhere, it's going to help you sleep because it can give you a bed, right? You can also put it over your heads and make a tent into it and keep yourself out of the cold. Maybe your whole family can share it, right? So we want to remember that these blankets help a lot of people. And Church World Service likes to have Blanket Sunday to remind people that these blankets only cost $10. Can you believe that? For $10, we can give a family comfort and warmth and help them feel just a little bit better when something really bad happens to them. Do you think, so in Sunday school, we've been learning all about Jesus and his disciples and going out and doing ministry, right? Preaching and teaching and healing to others. Do you think Jesus would have liked these blankets? Do you think he would have liked that we give these blankets to others? Yeah, this is one way we can be like Jesus, right? We can give others comfort and warmth. So congregation, so tell your parents and all of you guys, these blankets really are only $10. So if you would like to donate today, make your checks to Mountain View and put in the memo line that they're for Blanket Sunday, and we can provide a lot of warmth and comfort to a lot of people around the world. Right, guys? So tonight when you guys go home and you're cuddled up in your beds and you've got your blanket all nice and close and warm to you, think about those people who maybe don't have as much and say a prayer for them. Right? How's that sound? Can we say a prayer together real quick? Dear God, thank you for giving us the opportunity to help others. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to help others. Remind us to always keep you in our hearts. Remind us to always keep you in our hearts. And share your love with others around the world. Okay, guys, take those blankets and wrap them around you one more time. They feel like a great big hug. And hopefully you guys can help us out on Blanket Sunday.
What a great reminder of the gifts that we give and the good that it does. Please share as our ushers come forward your offerings, your opportunities for caring for others through Jesus Christ.
There is a bomb.
Praise God from offer our prayers of thanksgiving this morning. We want to be mindful of the Boggs family and her nephew's passing and service yesterday. Bev Irons' father died in North Carolina. Tula Bear's mom has had surgery, and we want to be mindful of her to fuse some vertebrae in her spine. And most personally, Don Wisdom, after a struggle with cancer, has passed away. His services will be Saturday next. Let's be mindful of all of these people as we're grateful for our lives. Holy God, today is a day when you would ask us to reach beyond ourselves to others. And we acknowledge our relationships are not everything they could be, but we also acknowledge your help in making them so. Let our lives be lifted above the horizon of loss and disappointment, discouragement and fear. And let us claim you, O God, our loving God, for this day and every other. Through Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen. Our centering hymn, It Is Well With My Soul, verses 1 and 2.
Be seated. They don't get acknowledgement enough, often because it means they're behind the scenes, but Kelsham, come on up here, buddy. But the people that do our AV are all volunteers, and we're so grateful for them. And what happened with this last song was not their fault. It just happened that we just didn't have the slides. So thank you for the grace that we experience. Thank goodness for hymnals, and thank you for just moving with us. So cheers. All right, you're up, buddy.
May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her and took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait of them. That evening, after the sunset, all the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Oh, okay. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good job, dude.
Thank you, Kelstrom. Well, this last week I spent mostly in Washington, D.C. So I'm really glad today is Communion and Blanket Sunday. These two experiences within our church are God's kingdom sort of manifest within our community and in our world, and they provide a perfect opportunity to share stories, and I've got lots. I had about 3 jam-packed days of incredible stories, great thinkers, including the chaplain to the Senate, faithful, active followers of Jesus through participants in the General Board of Church and Society, which is a United Methodist advocacy group, and colleagues from around the nation. So I wasn't surprised that I was overwhelmed and grateful for that opportunity. So today I was thinking that, like Jesus, I'd like to share some stories with you in ways that you might find yourself in the pockets of various places in the world, and that you might also reflect on your own story when Jesus came into your world to give you life abundant. So you can imagine snuggling up with one of these blankets. If you need one, feel free. We could be like around a big fire, a long table, lounging with a glass of wine or a slice of pizza, whatever is your favorite. And know that in this attitude, that your heart can be opened to how God's presence and epiphany will come to you. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we are grateful that we have a community in which we can come and hear of your good news and be reminded in very tangible ways, the very ways of a neighbor sitting next to us, that we matter to one another and you matter to us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart bring delight to you. Amen. One of my colleagues, her name is Ashley, is from rural Virginia, and she sat beside me most of the week. She shared openly with a group of 60 other young clergy from around the nation that she was scared and weary and unsure. See, her state of Virginia has just passed a law that permits concealed weapons in houses of worship. Meanwhile, her congregation that she serves has experienced an increasing rate of unemployment, and they continue to experience a loss of identity in the changing and shifting culture of our today. She described a palpable state of demise and hope, and a lack of action from the people as they dealt with their current reality. Another colleague, John, is actually a member of the General Board of Church and Society. Now, GBCS is a Methodist organization that advocates for various things, whether it's around economics or healthcare or human trafficking, and they just provide the voice for what the United Methodists have already said. They don't make stuff up. They just share what has already been decided as a worldwide congregation. And so John talked about his work as an economic and environmental arm of GBCS. But first he had to tell us and reveal to us a story of his professional death. Right after college, he wanted to be a young professor of economics, but thought he needed a little bit of life experience, so he moved to DC. Eventually, he got into the political realm and discovered that the information he received was worth a lot of money, and so he became a lobbyist. There was nothing like the life of being chauffeured to the very door of power and being asked, "John, what can we do for you?" And so he lived in this world for about 8 years until the tragedy of September 11th happened. And after that attack, there are various groups trying to discover ways of response, to discern ways in which we respond to the situation. And one of the responses that was contemplated was a compensation for families for those who had lost someone in those tragedies, in that act. All of a sudden, this John, this guy who's all about numbers, realized that he was being asked to put a number, a value on human life. So he sat around kind of perplexed in this conference room, and all of a sudden a CEO stood up and said, "I don't believe it. Can you imagine that people would say a janitor's life was as valuable as a CEO's life?" All of a sudden, he felt a slap in his face. Everyone around, mostly CEOs, were nodding in agreement. And John could only ask, "Can I live this life as a lobbyist and ignore my values? I value life for all." And so he met this situation in his professional death and had to rethink where he was going. Now, both these reflections, these personal reflections of Ashley and John, reveal a similar parallel to Mark's gospel story. We find Jesus on his way to Simon's mother-in-law, who is sick and near death. Mark simply states that Jesus gave her a hand, she stood up and served them. And I can only see that Ashley and John were experiencing a truly debilitating circumstance, and that they too needed a life-giving handhold. In my book, this moment can be defined as a miraculous transformation. Not only did Jesus come to this particular place, Jesus healed this particular woman, mother, sister, child. But Jesus did all of this by taking her hand, connecting her body with his, and infusing her with his intention of life. Next, she goes on to serve the crowd, and not out of a duty that's infused from a patriarchal dominance, but actually from the very display of life that was renewed in her and then called forth from her. Finally, this complete reversal of imminent death to life in this mother reveals the resurrection in her and her entire family. A fever in those times could have been the death sentence to a person, and thus left a family with an incredible hole, a hole of provision, of relationships, of household duties, and even emotional care and strength. Instead, she who was nearly dead came back to life. Well, I met a girl by the name of Yenix, and I have a picture of her. She is a picture to me of this story. I met Yenix and her family about 5 years ago on a mission trip to El Salvador. Yenix is a vibrant girl, and at the time was in high school, also caring for her family and her siblings. When we went down there as a group, we marveled at her and her mother made pottery, little cups and plates that they would give away and sell. And we enjoyed the stories she shared with us of working with children at their church. See, she lived in a little village, El Paisnal, about an hour outside of San Salvador. And so these children would glean all of the lessons of English that she could teach them, sometimes bringing their mothers, even in the midst of her still learning English. Well, her day was full. She would go to high school early in the morning, catching a bus into San Salvador and riding for about an hour, and then would rush home after the morning's lessons to work and care for kids at the church and eventually take care of her family through the night. Her day was about a 5 a.m. to midnight experience, rinse and repeat. Well, her mother was never fully well, but she would hit rough patches. And when her mom would get sick, and Yenix would then really struggle to care for her younger siblings and still attend school and to take care of her mom. It was quite a tension that she was pulled from, and oftentimes those priorities had to give and take. The village, including the pastor, helped take care of the mother, but there was this lingering question within. What would happen if she died? See, Yenix was faced with a particular situation that is not unique to El Paisnal or El Salvador, but is experienced throughout our world, even in our own community. It's that reality of if a parent or spouse dies, everything could change. Everything could fall apart. A simple illness could create this circumstance of destitution. But Mark's gospel invites us to look at these experiences, these everyday experiences, as a way of resurrection. Resurrection in the lives of an individual, their families, in the social and political order. Yannick's mom was able to get well, and she continued to journey alongside the family. But in Mark's gospel, what Jesus was saying is that to be released from illness and restored to oneself means that one can fulfill the responsibilities to others. It repairs the bonds of a family in a dimension of resurrection. In Mark's gospel, there's no individual healing, only those that repair relationship, son to father, daughter to mother, and here, mother to children. Even the unaccompanied woman in the crowd, when healed, becomes a daughter in Mark chapter 5. We recognize that resurrection, everyday resurrections, happen not in a vacuum, but in relationship. So when we go back to these stories of Ashley and John, I think we can see a need for such a restoration in relationships, both to one another, but also to the idea of the common humanity. For and in these relationships, Ashley and John struggled and were gripped in some way by the distressing and denying clutches of death. What does life abundant mean for them and in their context? What would it be to be raised again, to be born again? Well, one of the gentlemen we met this weekend, Shane Claiborne, is a good Christian boy from Tennessee. And he can't count the number of times he was born again because he did it a lot. Every summer during junior high and high school, they would go off to church camp, and the last night he would be invited to the foot of the cross where he would give his life to Jesus and be born again. And he couldn't wait for the next year to be born again. It was such a rush. But Shane realized that that experience was about a mile wide and an inch deep, and he started to feel the hollowness of it all. What did this born-again thing even mean? So as he went off to college, he was really yearning to find a Christian, to know who God is. One night, two buddies invited Shane to join them, in downtown Philadelphia as they hung out with the homeless population. Over and over they went, hearing stories of redemption and struggle, heartache, and love that was made real in a simple, warm meal. Eventually, he and his friends heard about some women and children who had been displaced and were now living in an old abandoned Catholic cathedral, and they were threatened with eviction and arrest. So Shane and his friends went down there, met them, ate meals with them, and over the weeks and months became detractors and bodyguards and companions in this struggle as they faced the Catholic diocese with their imminent eviction notice and the local government with handcuffs outside the door. As Shane recounted this story, after 20 years of advocacy, activism, writing, and plenty of other arrests, he said, "I was born again for real in the tears of these women." Mark speaks plainly about Jesus' ministry, for it's amazing all on its own. Jesus gave a hand for life to be restored. He openly welcomed the hurting, the lost, and dying into wholeness, into a rebirth void of demons or despair, leprosy, or loneliness. These are the resurrections of everyday life, and we too are invited into these everyday resurrections. So I want to offer you an opportunity to reflect for a moment on the question of where do you feel in the grips of death or despair? A fever sounds pretty manageable to us, right? But anything that is debilitating and disconnects us from the ability to live fully can be restored by God through the model of Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Where do you feel the grips of death? Do you have a physical obstacle? What about a fear or doubt of your skills? Are you trying to discover and name a direction forward at work or in your family? Have you been holding up others so much that you feel like you're being crushed by the responsibility? Has death actually met you face to face, taking a dear one and leaving you empty? What I read in the Gospels is not a formula for avoidance, but the outstretched hand to hold through these deaths. On the other side is life. And again, we will experience death, these daily deaths, even as we can experience and be invited into the fullness of everyday resurrections. We can claim this truth. We must claim it. The value of life is God's. What I gleaned from colleagues and advocates at General Board of Church and Society is that ministry for life abundance must be lived by grabbing that outstretched hand of Jesus. The great honor is that we can use our other hand to pull another into that very resurrection life. One hand with Jesus and one hand with another. For it is in these relationships that resurrection happens. It is in these real, tangible places where the good news exists. May you experience a resurrection this day and every day. Amen. As we come to the table of communion, we will experience this opportunity very tangibly again with the taste of bread and juice. And as we come to this place, one of the ways in which we can do so to fully grasp and retain it is to make our hearts open and to make ourselves aware of the places where we've fallen short and yet we so yearn and seek to live in peace with one another and in God's way. And so I offer you a moment of silence where we might confess to God. Let us pray. Let us sing for God's mercy.
Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison, Christe.
Jesus Christ happens over and over and over again for us, and that it is in his life that we are made whole, that we are forgiven, and this proves God's love for all. And so as the body of Christ, we can say together, amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We lift up our hearts. It is good to give our thanks and praise, and it is a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, O God, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, as you shaped all of creation, even holding us in your intimate care. We see your promise fulfilled. You promised that you would be always with us. You promised the coming of an anointed one who would lead the people to peace and righteousness. You promised that life through love would be for all. In hopeful anticipation, we give thanks to you, O God, God of our creation, God of our salvation, God of the prophets, God of beauty, and God of us all. And so with your people and all the earth on company, and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn.
You and holy is your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh, who came to show us the way of love. He healed the sick and restored the hurting. He honored families and relationships as the way in which we can experience love and wholeness. He served others just as they served alongside him. Holy are you and holy is your Son, Jesus Christ, who was betrayed by those who loved him, who was persecuted by those who feared him, who was crucified by those who thought that his death would be the end of him. On the night in which he gave himself up, he took the bread, he gave thanks to God and broke it, and he gave it to his friends, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken open for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his friends, his disciples, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for all. Every time you drink of this, remember me." And so in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection.
Will you pray with me? Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here in these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed in his blood. Make this be a balm and an encouragement of hope, whole life through the Holy Spirit, that we might be healed and made abundant in you, in Jesus Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in the ministry to all the world. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Let us sing our Amen.
Amen.
Remember the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, those who are helping serve communion come forward at this time. Everyone is invited to this table. It is God's table of love to be opened and offered to all. I invite you to come down the center aisle as you're able. You'll get a bit of bread and you'll dip it in the cup. We also have small cups if you'd like, and gluten-free elements will be offered on this side. There will be healing prayer both on this side and the other side. If you would like to have healing prayer. I'm really grateful for all of the help that we get to do from our youth, and so all are welcome. Come by your usher's discretion. We give you great thanks, O God, for making it so tangible, your love, that you brought your Son to be in the flesh, that we might be wrapped in warmth, be received with an outstretched hand, and be healed and restored to life abundant. May it be so through this gift of communion, your grace poured out and broken open for us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. I think we get to sing next, right? Yes. So let's stand and sing together. Love divine, all loves excelling. The benediction this morning, I invite you to have a hand up as if touching Jesus and a hand out as if reaching to another person. It is with our connection with Jesus that we are restored to abundant life over and over again. We all experience many deaths all the time, and yet Jesus wants to restore us over and over and over with resurrection. And through that resurrection, we don't do this alone, but we connect with another. And so this hand might be that love for another. This is the blessing and the courage and the call upon you this day. Go with Jesus into the world with his joy and grace and mercy. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, buddy.